You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on KGYM. Very nice Tuesday across eastern Iowa as temperatures rocking into the upper 30s. Scott Unash with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining me in just a moment from his home in the southwest side. Good show coming up. Cole Bear will join us. Covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We will talk about the Panther basketball team, take a look back and close things up as far as football is concerned for UNI this year. And more with Cole coming up in just a little bit. We'll take a look back at last night's national championship college football game. The Georgia Bulldogs, the national champions for the first time since Herschel Walker was carrying the rock for Vince Dooley in Athens. And boy, doesn't seem like that long ago, but it really was that long ago. 41 seasons between national championships for the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll talk about that. Get your reactions as well. Maybe take a little peek ahead to next year as well as the college football. We put that away for the year and look ahead to spring football and whatnot. That and more coming your way here in the Gym Class on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That's our phone line as well. And as always, we appreciate you listening in. However you may be doing so, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM stream, KGYM mobile app, and the KGYM smart speaker as well. And if you've missed anything from yesterday or last week or a couple of weeks ago, what have you, you can always go back and listen to our podcast. They're available at kgymradio.com. Our show, as well as the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, they are both located underneath the show tabs, as far as our website is concerned, or you can go to Apple or Spotify out there. And Mark, good afternoon. I hate to start the show with a sad note, but this just coming down, and I know you and I enjoyed this reporter's work for a long, long time, but very surprising news here. Longtime Golf Channel reporter Tim Rosefort has passed away at the age of 66. He retired a couple years ago from the Golf Channel, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he has died of a very aggressive form of Alzheimer's. So Tim Rosefort, really, really good golf reporter, and he will be missed, certainly.
Yeah, good afternoon. Sad news. Rosefort had retired a couple of years ago when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. A lot of tributes out there to him, including Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson, giving his thoughts about Rosefort. He was, one of the first golf insiders as Golf Channel came on board. And Jaime Diaz and Jimmy Roberts and others were those guys that broke the stories. And, very quick passing for Tim Rosefort. I'm sure there'll be plenty of tributes here in the next few hours as get ready for the Sony Open in Hawaii.
Yes, of which, by the way, you mentioned Zach Johnson, the Cedar Rapidian, will be making his 2022 debut coming up at Wailea on Thursday, as he will be in a field for the Sony Open, a pretty good field as well. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on the Gym Class program. And we start things off with a tip of the hat to the Georgia Bulldogs, your national champions of college football, as the Bulldogs came from behind last night and knocked off Alabama in the national championship game at Indianapolis. And I thought it was good theater last night. People were grumbling because there were field goals in the first half instead of touchdowns. But you know what? When you got two defenses as good as those two are, especially Georgia's, you're going to have that every once in a while. And I got to say, I really thought Georgia's goose was cooked after the fumble that Alabama got and took in for the touchdown and took the lead. I really thought that that was going to do it. But all credit to the Georgia Bulldogs as they not only came back, got a touchdown, but then sealed it away on a pick six. It was interesting. You could see most of the sideline for Georgia after the interception saying, just fall down, fall down, fall down. And that young man did not have the word fall down on his mind at that point. He was getting a full head of steam and going down the sideline to the end zone. So good job by Georgia. And Kirby Smart exercising some demons last night as he finally got the best of his mentor, Nick Saban.
Yeah, complete reversal of fortunes from the SEC championship game in which Alabama won by 17 points. This is a 33-18 victory for Georgia. It was refreshing to see someone besides Alabama from the SEC win a championship. I know LSU has been there, and but Georgia hasn't been there in quite a long time, certainly longer than the college football playoffs have been around. Great story on the quarterback from Georgia, Stetson Bennett, who was a walk-on at one time and came up big in this game, and he was very emotional about it.
Yeah, he was very emotional after the game, and why not? Former walk-on, as you mentioned, came on, got a scholarship, and was not going to be the starting quarterback at the outset of the season for this Georgia football team. Ended up taking the job, never gave it back from JT Daniels, and the rest is history as far as Barrett and Georgia is concerned. One hiccup, that in the SEC championship game. Maybe they should play again next week. Best of three. Right? I tune in.
I'm good, and I think they are, too.
I tune in. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And I thought it was a great game. Had a little bit of everything last night. I tell you what, especially the Georgia defense, is just absolutely amazing. And watching mainly Big Ten, Big 12 throughout the fall into the bowl season and other teams in the bowl season, obviously, there is a different gear for the speed of these two teams, Georgia and Alabama, especially on the defensive side. Watching them cover ground and close, that's the difference. That is the absolute difference. One of them, and the biggest one as far as I'm concerned, between those teams and other teams out there. Would you agree?
I certainly did last night, the way Georgia closed on Bryce Young. Bryce Young had a nice game, but when he got out on the edge and Georgia was able to close on him, I think was sacked him three or four times, that was very impressive. Not impressive and surprising to me was that Alabama couldn't run the ball. Now, those only 40 yards rushing or 30 yards rushing, but that was skewed by the sacks that Bryce Young took, I think, minus 43 yards. But Georgia was able to rush the ball better. Stetson Bennett did what he needed to do. And in the end, it was a big defensive play that kind of opened things up. And there you have it, 96-63 on the text line. When Alabama wide receiver got hurt, they were done. You could see it.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Alabama, with all of the injuries, there was no team in the top 10, even close, that had as many injuries and season-ending injuries as Alabama did. That took out Alabama's top two receivers. And as you mentioned, Georgia shut down the Alabama run game last night. And I would agree. After that point, it was pretty much Katie barred the door, but Alabama still had the lead thanks to the defense in the fourth quarter. And the defense had, yeah, they've got Anderson, and he is just an absolute beast on the defensive side of the ball. Just a beast. And other than, they had a couple other linebackers they lost for the season that were maybe not quite as good, but nearly as good as he is out there. And there's no surprise that, and we'll talk about this coming up, but all of the early polls, it is the it is poll Tuesday today for next year as far as college football. Everyone's got their top 25 for 2022 out, and I have not seen one yet that has Alabama not number one next year. Alabama's going to be much better next year than they were this year, because they're going to get all those guys back, as Cajun Troy points out. Bama will be top next year, returning all the offensive injured players and defensive injured players as well. Yeah, Bama is going to be the clear number one going into next year. And getting to that game with all the injuries is a real tip of the cap to Nick Saban.
Well, it is, and it's a reload situation, and you're right, Alabama will be the top dog again next year. David in Hudson asking on the text line, why does the NCAA have its championship game on Monday nights? My guess, it's a captive audience, David. No other reason.
Or, well, TV as well. There's no doubt. There aren't many college football games or college basketball games on a Monday night. Also, you don't have the NFL on a Monday night, but people are used to football on a Monday night, so they're going to keep tuning in. Those are your big reasons as far as why the game is played on Monday night. Ryan and Walford, whether we saw the best two teams play each other last night or not, I hate the rematch. Feels like there should be a rubber match. See, Ryan's ready for the 2 out of 3. But what should have happened is Ohio State in the top four instead of Cincinnati. Wait till next year. Ohio State is going to be very, very good next year. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to comment about last night's game. Yeah, 80-77, different level of football. Highly entertaining, but dragging today. Start the game earlier. I would agree. Still, a 7:15 start. Wasn't it about last night they finally got it kicked off?
Yeah.
So it's not much different than a Monday night football game. Not much different. Yeah, and defensive closing speed, 14:77, commenting on. Talking about that closing speed reminds me of Imani Hooker and Geno Stone. And ramp that up a little bit as well.
57-31 on my text line. Could Iowa get a first down against them?
Oh, sure. And Iowa State can too. You're going to give up first downs. I get your point, though. Play the national championship and the Super Bowl on Saturday. Says 69-36. Yeah. The Super Bowl, a lot of people take Monday off anyway after the Super Bowl. It's pretty much a 3-day weekend anyway for a lot of the hardcore people out there, especially if your team is involved in the game. So, but Saturdays, I think you're not going to see the national championship football game change from that Monday night appearance.
Well, I just soon see the Super Bowl moved up from a 5:30 start to maybe mid-afternoon.
But then we can't watch the Phoenix Open.
The Phoenix Open and 6 hours of pregame stuff, you know.
That's why we watch the Phoenix Open. 319-366-1600. Yes, 25-23. We are happy we are not the hat guy who gave Alabama hats to Georgia players. That was an oops last night. A big, big oops. Yeah. Cheering for the Bears, Mark, says 81-86. You never get to miss a Monday after the Super Bowl. That is him saying that. That is not me saying that, Mark.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Did an 85-86 in there. wasn't quite as big of a deal back then. It's still a big deal, but not the pomp and circumstance that it is now, as far as the Super Bowl is concerned. 11:56. I'm retired, but those biggest games should not be played on work nights, and a rubber game would descend into a brawl. I thought everyone was pretty much on their best behavior last night. Between you're gonna have a little barking and chewing and shouting. You know that you're gonna have that in any football game. But I thought for the most part it was a pretty clean game last night and entertaining. An entertaining game last night. As we come up on 3:20, Mark, sorry to let you know, but you are out of the running for this week's edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6.
I am, but I will say I was the only one on the panel to pick Georgia and the under and the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, but I dug myself too big a hole. We have one game remaining on this week's slate. It is Thursday night's Iowa-Indiana basketball game. Myself and Dave picked Iowa. Scott, you picked Indiana. If Indiana wins, Scott wins the picks on a tiebreaker. If Iowa wins, Dave will be the victor once again.
Yeah, so whichever side you're on, go with that. 319-366-1600 as we come up on 3:21. Cole Bear is going to join us in about 10, 12 minutes or so. We'll talk UNI. The Panthers will host the Sycamores of Indiana State coming up tonight at McLeod Center. And as the Missouri Valley Conference play gets back going once again this week. And we've got Iowa State basketball coming up tonight for you. Cyclones and Kansas. And we've got it at 6 o'clock tonight for you, 1600 a.m. at 102.3 FM. And I know that's important because tonight's game on the television side of things is on ESPN Plus platform this evening. A lot of Iowa State's games are going to be televised on ESPN Plus this year. That's just the way it is. There are less college basketball games during the week because ESPN picked up the NHL contract. More games are going to ESPN Plus. If you have that subscription, great. If you do not have that subscription, then you're going to be tuned in tonight. But seems weird. A top 20 Iowa State-Kansas showdown is not going to be on some form of network television this evening, Mark.
Yeah, it is very strange. Two top 15 teams on the stream. Also a big night for the Iowa State women, currently ranked 9th in the country, going to Kansas State, a top 25 team. Both teams 3-0.
Kansas State has not had these heights in women's basketball since our good friend Joe Hamlin was there before she moved to Iowa, you know.
Very true.
I should tweet her tonight and say, you know, Kansas State is good again. They haven't been good since you left Manhattan. Former producer of the show, by the way.
Yes.
She used to sit over where Ben is sitting right now. She was taller, Ben. Sorry. 319-366-1600 at 3:23. Polls are out. Yes, they are, for the most part, pretty meaningless after the national championship final last night. Hey, Georgia's number one, and Alabama's number two. Hard to believe that. Iowa in the AP poll at number 23 to end the year. That is four straight seasons that the Iowa football team has appeared in the top 25 to end the year. Iowa State not in the top 25 to close things out as far as the AP poll is concerned. So Iowa made it all the way up as high as number two, but ends the season at number 23.
Yeah, nice accomplishment, four straight years. And I saw Dennis Dodd, one of those national writers, to put out a way too early top 25 for 2022. He did not have Iowa in the top 25.
No, he did not.
Very odd.
Yeah, he did not. Yeah, did not. 5165 says, did not watch a single minute. Hope you listened. Saw the final score, yawn, another boring SEC championship. I have to disagree. It was not a boring game. Also, hot take, Iowa would have played better than Michigan in that game. I would assume that is the semifinal that 51-65 is talking about. And yeah, 64-29, the Big 12 is a bad TV deal, especially when compared to most of the other power conferences. But great for us here at KGYM. Iowa State, Kansas coming up tonight for you from Allen Fieldhouse, 6 o'clock. The pregame, 7:05 is the tip-off coming up tonight. I would assume that John is back and Eric Heft. And they will have the call from Fog Allen Fieldhouse down in Lawrence, one of the great places to visit as far as college basketball is concerned. Going to get you an Emil Sideway scoreboard coming up here in just a little bit. As we mentioned, we're going to talk to Cole Bear coming up as well. And also going to talk a little bit. We got to take a look at the one that's got a little bit more oomph than others as far as the top teams in college football looking ahead to 2022 is concerned. There's not going to be much of a letdown as far as the two teams that were in the game last night. If you were wondering about that, and the usual suspects are going to be around next year, no doubt about that. All right, Mark, I'm going to throw it to you, and we are going to have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Former Cedar Rapids candidate and University of Iowa player Sean Beyer has signed a futures contract with the Denver Broncos. Beyer spent the season on the Broncos practice squad this year. Sunday's Iowa-Minnesota men's basketball game will be a 1 p.m. start on the Big Ten Network. Speaking of the Big Ten, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, the Big Ten will announce a revised 2022 football schedule. It reportedly is going to take into account alterations that had to be made during 2020. Of course, there were no non-conference games that year because of COVID. Iowa missed the game against Michigan and a bowl game, so we'll see what transpires there. And finally, in April at the Masters, Tom Watson will join Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player as honorary starters at the Masters.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Watson stepping in, of course. Lee Elder had that for 1 year before passing since the last Masters event. And that, I got to admit, that warmed me up last night a little bit on a chilly Monday night as ESPN had the Masters promo unveiled for the first time, or at least first time I saw it anyway.
It always does, doesn't it?
It always does. It always does. Some of the numbers coming in as far as football and viewership last night of the Georgia-Alabama game. Good news and bad news. I think kind of good news more than bad news, because in this day and age, really, as far as especially network television is concerned, the numbers just keep going down and down with more platforms available out there for people to watch. But the game last night averaged 22.6 million viewers across ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPNU. That is up nearly 4 million from last year's Alabama-Ohio State game in 2021. That's all the good news, but it is the second lowest since the college football playoff started in 2015, the lowest being last year's Ohio State-Alabama game. So I think they'll take that number, though, 22.6, especially with it being on the cable broadcast channels out there. But I hope you enjoyed it, whether you were rooting for Alabama or rooting for the Georgia Bulldogs last night. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you as we get ready to talk to Cole Bear coming up here in just a little bit. We will take a break, get you a weather forecast, come back and talk some UNI basketball. Also want to remind you that coming up tonight for you, of course, it's Tuesday night, high school basketball coming up this evening. Myself and Ryan Lersman will be out at Linmar this evening for Linmar and Cedar Rapids Prairie, 7th rated Prairie tonight at about 7:20 on CRM Live Sports. You can go to our brand new website, crmlivesports.com, and you can listen to the game right there. Looking forward to that. All right, we'll take a break. Come back, have more for you after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
Good evening. I'm Weather First meteorologist Sarah Flynn here with your latest forecast. We'll start to see some cloud cover build as we head into the later evening and overnight hours tonight. By Wednesday morning, looking at a low temperature of 24 degrees. Later on in the morning hours, we could also see some light flurries and a wintry mix pass through the region. High temperatures by the afternoon will top off near 35. More snow is on the horizon Thursday through Saturday. And that was your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast. Have a great night.
Wild card weekend just got wilder. FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds. That means you can bet $5 and win $150 on any team to win any wild card game. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook. They have a simple and easy to use app with generous promotions every day. And when you win, FanDuel pays you your winnings in as little as 2 hours. Already have FanDuel Sportsbook? They're hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet when you use promo code COON at signup. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app using promo code KUHN and pick your wildcard team before kickoff. You must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer. Market max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Start the new year off right with Menards Bag Sale. Pick up a bag in store and get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag now through January 15th. Whether you pack it, load it, stuff it, or stack it. From light bulbs to tools, snacks, and much more. Fit it in the bag and save 15%. So pick up a bag in store and find out how much you fit in the bag. Now through January 15th. Available in store only at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
We are back in the gym class at 3:30, coming up on 3:33 for a Tuesday edition here on KGYM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. We got basketball coming up later on, 6 o'clock pregame, Iowa State and the Kansas Jayhawks from Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence. That'll be on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM coming up this evening. Also coming up this evening, a big one in Cedar Falls, as it'll be UNI and Indiana State going at it in the Missouri Valley Conference. And to talk about that, all things Panthers, we bring in Cole Bear, who covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter out there as well. And Cole, Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. How we doing?
Doing great. And so it'd be the UNI basketball team looking for, I believe, 4 in a row coming up tonight and to go to 4-1, more importantly, in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, it was quite a 7-day stretch for the Panthers beginning last Sunday when 22-point win. Yeah, 22-point win over Evansville. And you're at that point thinking, okay, well, it's the Purple Aces. They weren't picked to do anything in the Valley. It is an impressive blowout win, but they had also been on a COVID pause for a while, too. And then on last Wednesday, Valparaiso comes in. They were 8-7. They've got four Big Ten transfers on their roster, all from Wisconsin. And you and I, once again, just another blowout, 92-65. They've scored a little over 87 points per game, guys, in these three Valley wins. They played Bradley earlier. It was kind of weird. They played Bradley about a couple weeks before the new year, an unusual little scheduling quirk there in the Valley. But they figured some things out after they went to the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii, both on offense and defense. And it looks like this team is getting much closer to realizing the potential that a lot of us knew that they had.
Assistant Coach Seth Tuttle getting credit, as you wrote about today, Cole, for maybe noticing a few things about this team, kind of a self-analysis.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty interesting how, you know, these coaches, it makes you wonder sometimes if they're too close, which, I mean, you can't really blame them. But they're sitting there, they got some of the greatest seats in the house, and Seth Tuttle, when he was forced to stay home from the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii, he had a non-COVID illness. He's like us. He's watching on television, and watching on television for him was an experience where it just somehow confronted him with the shortcomings of the offense. Basically, you know, they got up in both their games at the Diamond Head Classic, Liberty and Wyoming, two really good teams. They end up losing both of those games. And Seth Tuttle saw his offense, because he really is the offensive coordinator for Ben Jacobson's team. He saw them taking too many quick shots and not running their offense the way that he would have liked them to after getting those leads against two really good teams, like I mentioned. So there was a long look in the mirror and a really harsh self-scout that went on, courtesy of what Seth Tuttle saw off of his television, and also, too, what Ben Jacobson saw in Hawaii as it relates to his team's defense just not meeting the program standard.
Very, very true. And that going hand-in-hand with the fact that A.J. Green is getting healthier. He's getting more confident. He's starting to put things together. He's starting to look like the old A.J. Green anyway out there. And the fact that Fife is getting healthier, and the entire team basically is getting healthier. So, you know, all that put together has helped the Panthers.
Yeah, it really has. The Valley's no different than any other conference in college basketball right now, where some teams are going good because they're healthy, whether it's COVID-related or not, and others not so much. And the Panthers are on the good side of things right now. And A.J. Green, I think one of the things I thought was most impressive during this three-game winning streak was in that 92-65 win over Valparaiso last Wednesday, guys. He only had 9 points in that game. And I think perhaps maybe a freshman, A.J. Green, forces up 4 or 5 more shots in that game. But this A.J. Green, who, like you mentioned, is getting more confident, is you know, getting his basketball feet under him after a year away from the game with the hip surgeries, he was more than content to set screens and be a decoy. I don't know if, you know, maybe that's being a little unfair, but just to understand what his presence on the court means, even if he's not having a great night, defenses still have to respect him. So I thought that was really something, how you and I was able to score 92 with A.J. only scoring 9 points. And then the next game, you had mentioned Austin Fife. His minutes have fluctuated a lot due to dealing with long COVID, who I'm sure plenty of your listeners either, you know, maybe one of them have it or know someone that has long COVID effects. He's got some scarring in his lungs that, you know, makes things tough for him day to day. But he gutted out 18 minutes against the Bears in what was a 1-point win Saturday night in Springfield, a really dramatic win for the Panthers. It was one heck of a game, in case anybody missed it. And he guarded an all-conference forward, engaged Prim well. He had 6 points. He had a couple of assists. Those 18 minutes were huge that Fife was able to give the Panthers. So, like you mentioned, guys, a lot of things coming together right now for Ben Jacobson's team.
Cole, where do we stand with the Missouri Valley Conference? We do know who's coming, who's going. apparently Missouri Valley Conference reps were in Chicago a couple days ago to conduct a visit with Illinois-Chicago. Where do things stand right now?
Yeah, so Loyola-Chicago, they're out after this year. They're headed to the Atlantic 10 Conference, and that came not too long after the announcement earlier, or I guess I should say late last year now, that Belmont out of Nashville, Tennessee, a really good program for men's basketball, would be joining the Valley. So at that point, it looked like the momentum was there with Belmont, and people at the time still thinking Loyola would be around to go and get a 12th team. Well, once Loyola made their announcement, the Valley, I think they were able to accelerate things with Murray State out of Kentucky, a program that I know anybody who's a college basketball fan's been aware of, you know, most notably them putting Ja Morant in the NBA and him being really a superstar player for the Memphis Grizzlies. But their program has just been outstanding over the past decade plus. And while they're maybe not in a large market for basketball, their program, it's a brand that carries weight. And now you're right on the nose there. There's, to my understanding, a lot of momentum toward Illinois-Chicago, UIC, becoming the 12th member of the Missouri Valley Conference. And I think it's important that the Valley continues to have a footprint in Chicago. I think it's a really great move in what's been a series, I think, of great moves by the first-year commissioner, Jeff Jackson. And there's also report out there that in the future, they're not in a rush, but they would consider going to 14. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. But I think with the additions of Belmont, Murray State, and potentially UIC here, guys, if you recall, it would have been the mid-2000s, I think 2004 to about 2006 or 7, the Valley once or twice got three teams in the NCAA tournament. I think that this group of 12 gets them back into a pretty steady two-bid league, and I don't think it's unfair to suggest that perhaps that this is a league looking forward with what will be in it. They could get back to a circumstance where every 4 or 5 years they get three teams in. It looks like a really strong league moving forward.
Yeah, you think we're talking with Cole Bear here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:41. It's hard to say, but I mean Murray coming in at Belmont right now, they're 24-5 combined. They are the two teams, the two faces of the Ohio Valley. You think maybe if they had a do-over, Loyola might rethink?
I don't think so. I think their people over there are well enough in the know to see the path forward for the Valley, whether they were going to be a part of it or not. Perhaps they don't share some of the same optimism that I do about this new version of the Valley we're seeing come into form, being able to get three bids, and maybe they go, well, if it's Belmont and Murray, along with everybody else we're already competing against, even if it's two bids, that's tough. But who's to say, you know, what the future looks like for the A-10, but you know, we've seen the A-10 steadily get multiple bids into the NCAA tournament. So I would imagine probably more than anything, though, whether we're talking bids or not, it really just comes down to that conference share of revenue. And I think the money speaks louder than anything else. Loyola Chicago wouldn't have made the move if there wasn't a good financial gain for them to do so. So I think ultimately at the end of the day, that's why they made their decision.
Touch on football a little bit, Cole. I'm curious about Trevor Penning, the offensive lineman. Spencer Brown, former Panther, obviously made a mark this year with the Buffalo Bills. Is Penning capable of making a similar mark in the NFL draft and in the NFL?
I absolutely think that he is. And what's so interesting about those two is that as talented as they both are, they are different players. Spencer, a right tackle. Trevor, a left tackle. We know left tackle is the money position on the offensive line. And Trevor is kind of that more typical build of an offensive lineman, but take that with a grain of salt because he's 6'7", 340 pounds, and he really moves well. I've seen it in person, guys. And he plays just so violent. He will ragdoll defensive lineman. I see the amount of times I saw him throw grown men around this past season was nothing short of incredible. And I've seen from a handful of different early, obviously, NFL draft prognosticators that he could potentially go in the back end of the first round, talking somewhere probably late teens at the best into the 20-30 range. And I think worst case scenario is he is a early day two pick in round two. And he really stands to gain a lot at the Senior Bowl coming up. So that was a huge, that made a big difference for Spencer Brown, what he was able to go do at the Senior Bowl, because a lot of these scouts aren't watching FCS football, obviously, as closely as they're watching FBS football. But he's got all the measurables. He's got the makeup, all the talent in the world to play that position. And I think what Spencer Brown was able to do this past year can only help Trevor. It only gives probably a more sense of calm to some of these scouts to maybe stick their neck out in a meeting and advocate on his behalf if he checks out everywhere else for them. I can't wait to see how that one plays out. He sure looks like he's a shoe-in to beat the program record for highest NFL draft pick, which is held by Brad Meester, who I want to say it was in 2000, went number 60 overall to the Jaguars and had a really good NFL career as a center on the offensive line. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on here in the months moving forward toward that NFL draft.
Anyone else got a chance to stick with an NFL team that you could see anyway from this Panther squad?
You know, I'd be curious to see if maybe a Jared Brinkman gets a shot. I don't think he'll get drafted, but I just think given his production that perhaps somebody gives him an invite to camp, despite the fact that his measurables are what they are. He's an undersized interior defensive lineman, but a guy like Jared with a wrestling background who knows how to gain leverage and use his hands, especially after, you know, being under the tutelage of Bryce Pop. I could see him getting a shot in a rookie mini camp, and, you know, who knows how things could go from there. Outside of that, I think it's pretty hard to say. Maybe Isaiah Weston as well. I don't see him getting drafted, the wide receiver, but I also could see him getting an invitation to a rookie mini camp. He's playing in a few different showcase events, at least a couple that I'm aware of, so he'll definitely have to go perform at those, and probably more than anything just show that he can stay healthy, because the talent was never a question with Weston. It was just his durability. It's kind of scary to think what he might have been able to do numbers-wise had he stayed healthier during his career at UNI. So those are a couple of names that come to mind when you ask that.
What does 2022 look like, Cole, for the football program? Finished in the top 25 again this year, considering who's coming back, the recruiting. Unless I looked at an old schedule, national champion North Dakota State is not on the slate next year for you and I. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The way that the Valley works now, with North Dakota having joined the league, what's that, probably 3 years ago now, it's just that you have an opponent who drops off the schedule. And so no North Dakota State next year. You can see potentially as a result of that, a much easier pathway to compete for a conference championship. But UNI brings plenty back. But those guys that they bring back, they got to continue to improve. And I think something that can't go overlooked is the fact that defensive coordinator Jeremiah Johnson left after, I think it was 13 years he had been with the program, to go be defensive coordinator at Kent State and, you know, take his opportunity go be a coach at the FBS level. And can't say enough good things about Jeremiah Johnson. Great defensive coordinator, great person, happy for him and his family. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how responsibilities get doled out now, and how Mark Farley, who we know is well schooled in defense as anybody in the country, how he reorganizes his defensive coaching staff, because that's the engine that drives UNI football. As much as we find ourselves talking about offense, UNI football, it doesn't get these playoff appearances if that defense isn't top shelf year in and year out like it has been, as reliable as it has been. So I think spring football is going to be as compelling as ever for these Panthers guys to see what the quarterback Theo Day looks like, having a year of experience under his belt and with offensive coordinator Sean Watson. And then, you know, what's the defense going to look like? It's probably going to look the same, but are they going to be able to compete and execute at the same level without Jeremiah Johnson, who, quite frankly, I'm surprised some FBS program didn't pluck him years ago.
Yeah, before we let you go here, the final evaluation of this Panther football season, getting to the playoffs, coming off just a spring that is to be forgotten with injuries and COVID and everything that the Panthers had to deal with. I think a pretty good grade in the end, even though it was a first-round loss. But even getting that far to go to Eastern Washington was a pretty big accomplishment for Mark Farley.
Yeah, I would agree. A lot of injuries for the Panthers this year, and they really started to stack up on them in the back half of the season, and they were able to weather that storm well enough, like you mentioned, to be the last team into the 2014 FCS playoffs and take on an Eastern Washington team that is as good of an offense as you'll find in college football and more than hold their own against them. And if a couple plays go UNI's way in that game, then you're talking about them having gone over 1,000 miles out to the West Coast and winning a playoff game. I mean, you know, that didn't happen. So I would agree. I think it's a good grade. It was interesting. Perhaps you had seen at thegazette.com, I had spoken with UNI Athletic Director David Harris about 3 weeks ago now, and he says that his conversations with Coach Farley are about going from taking the program from being a playoff contender to a championship contender. And ultimately where that conversation ended up, just kind of the way that it went and what I was looking for, is that a $45, $50 million renovation to the Unidome is going to play a big part in that. And they plan on announcing their public fundraising part of that renovation sometime in 2022. And I think that'll be a big part of Mark Farley's legacy is what he's able to do, because he's a terrific fundraiser if you talk to the right people who support the program. So I think that's kind of what the next era of UNI football looks like, is what's the pathway from being a perennial playoff contender to a championship contender? Because I have a feeling, guys, North Dakota State is not long for FCS football. They are the sand's running out of the hourglass there. They're going to go up to FBS at some point, just like Sam Houston State, Jacksonville State, and James Madison are this next season. And at that point, UNI's got to be ready to pounce. They really do, because they've been a very good FCS team, and there's going to be a pathway for them that will, it'll open up, if you will, even more here in the near future. And so it'll be interesting to see how things align for them in terms of being ready for that moment.
Yeah, FCS football going to look a lot different next year, next fall, no doubt about that. Hey, Cole, appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and always enjoy talking with you.
Thanks, guys. Likewise. Have a good day.
You bet. Cole Bear covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter. We're going to take a break, come back, and take a look a little more college football after last night's national championship game as we take a peek to 2022 after this.
When it comes to choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, Blue is affordable. Blue is convenient. Blue is staying healthy. And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one plans including medical and drug coverage, plus health benefits like dental, vision, hearing, fitness, and more. Some available at $0 premiums. Compare plans at wellmarkadvantage.com. Wellmark Advantage Health Plan is a PPO and an HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Wellmark Advantage Health Plan depends on contract renewal.
And that's when I realized it's called a hamburger, not a handburger, because you carry it with your hand. I was wrong, people. It's like that time I thought I couldn't make the perfect app for football. I was wrong again, people. All I had to do was make a sportsbook app where you can earn season rewards all Sunday long. Nobody's better at bettering things than Caesars.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
My My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up for a Tuesday edition of the show. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us. We'll take a look back at tonight's Iowa State-Kansas game and the UNI-Indiana State game as well, coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Scott and Mark with you, and Mark, John with a question for you as a Bear fan. Why are your Bears interviewing so many ex-coaches who have already been fired once in the National Football League? Hey, it's a retread league. It's professional sports, for the most part, are retread organizations. How many years in baseball did we see the same managers over and over and over again before that kind of stopped a little bit? We're seeing it in football as well.
That's kind of what they do in the NFL. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'd like to see your guy, Eric Bieniemy, get a shot. I know he's kind of entrenched in Kansas City. I think he'd be a really good head coach. But, yeah, like guys like Doug Peterson and Todd Bowles and Leslie Frazier, Flores, yeah, you got to interview him. He won 8 of his last 9 games.
I think he'd be terrific.
Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Which NFC North job is the most desirable? 4 choices: Bears head coach, Bears GM, Vikings GM, Vikings head coach. And Todd, you probably could have put in there none of the above.
Justin Fields is a good place to start for the Chicago Bears, I think. All right, we mentioned everybody's got their way too early top 25s for the college football campaign for 2022. I have not seen one, Mark. I don't know if you have either. That does not have Alabama at number one. Tide's going to be really, really good next year, and that does not include top 5 recruiting class in the country. But most people, everyone's got them number one. Most people have Ohio State at number 2, though. Everyone kind of agrees with their top 5, and that would be Alabama, Ohio State, Texas A&M, number 1 recruiting class in the country, and a lot coming back for the Aggies, and Baylor. Yeah, Mark, the Baylor Bears in there. I completely disagree with CBS Sports and Dennis Dodd. I do not see the Oklahoma Sooners as preseason number 4 next year. With everybody that has left that program, I don't care if Dylan Gabriel is coming in as the quarterback. I do not see it. A lot of people like Arkansas too in the top 12, in the top 10. I would agree. They got a big time transfer portal wide receiver coming in as well. 7 SEC teams in the top 25 for the CBS Sports folks.
A lot of the usual suspects up there, as you mentioned, with Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, and so on. But a lot of folks liking Southern California with Lincoln Riley on board. Right now, 25-1 to win the national championship.
Dennis Dodd does say that teams just outside the top 25 include Iowa, San Diego State, Houston, Kentucky, Pitt, and Utah State in there. Most of the top 25s, the only one I did not see Iowa was as far as CBS. We'll see. Yes, the Cardinals firing Torrey, the Yankees hiring him, worked out very well. 14th in one poll for Oklahoma says 0835. That's a little bit better. I think that might even be a little bit high, but we'll see. Iowa State, Kansas tonight, 6 o'clock, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, just past 7 o'clock with the tip-off of that one. Mark, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk then.
Vivid Seats. Your ticket to hold on to your hat edge of seat sitting, bases loaded, two outs, half court buzzer beating 60 yards.